Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup, a deeper dive on the stories you need to start your day with fewer commercials. Live on air, the radio.com app, and delivered to your phone and computer for on-demand listening.
Morning, we begin with what's becoming an all-out war between two of the top candidates for president.
Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States.
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are holding firm after she claimed he told her in a private conversation 2 years ago that a woman couldn't win the White House in 2020. Last night at the last debate before the Iowa vote, Senator Warren followed up on her disputed claim by throwing another gender bomb. "Look at the men on this stage," she said. "Collectively, they've lost 10 elections." Again, Bernie Sanders said, "Not true."
Just to set the record straight, I defeated an incumbent Republican running for Congress.
When?
1990. That's how I won, beat a Republican congressman. Number two, of course, I don't think there's any debate up here.
Wasn't that 30 years ago?
I beat an incumbent Republican congressman.
And I said I was the only one who's beaten an incumbent Republican in 30 years.
Well, 30 years ago is 1990, as a matter of fact.
Here's Bernie Sanders refuting Elizabeth Warren's claim that the only people on this stage who've won every single election that they've been in are the women. Amy and me, referring to Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, who, by the way, went along with what Sanders said. When the debate was over, Sanders extended his hand toward Warren. She appeared to snub that handshake. And then the two were seen in what was described as animated conversations.
It's been a month since the House voted to impeach President Trump, and finally today, the House is expected to vote on a resolution to send the two articles of impeachment to the Senate for trial. There's a growing chance the trial may indeed bring in new witnesses. CBS News congressional correspondent Nancy Cordes.
A small group of Senate Republicans wants to hear from witnesses, too, and they could force the hand of Senate leader Mitch McConnell.
We're going to vote on that at the appropriate time, after we listen to the argument.
And would the White House be able to block those witnesses?
51 senators will decide who to call. After that, who knows who will employ what kind of legal devices? I have no idea.
After the midday vote today, House managers will walk the articles across the Capitol in a dramatic evening procession. The Constitution calls for the Chief Justice to preside over senators who will serve as jurors to swear an oath to deliver impartial justice. But Senator McConnell has said he is not impartial and wants Trump to be acquitted as quickly as possible.
How bad is the flu this year? Well, there have been 27 pediatric deaths, which is the highest since the CDC began tracking flu deaths 17 years ago. New York State says it's seeing more cases, including an 11-year-old boy near Buffalo who died. His parents say they got him the flu shot, but it wasn't enough to protect him. Still, the CDC advises anyone over 6 months to get a flu shot, which will lower the severity and length of symptoms. It's particularly bad for kids because they are susceptible to influenza B, which is strong this season, and this year's vaccine doesn't fully cover B or A. Governor Cuomo has ordered the State Health Department in New York to work with hospitals and make sure they're equipped to meet this rising number of hospitalizations.
Now, need to know weather? Put away the umbrella, grab a light coat. High today, a warm 52 with clearing skies. As for snow this weekend, we'll hear the latest expected track. It's coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Well, let's see what's happening right now on this morning's Money News. And Joe Connolly, what's the big thing this morning?
Well, Wayne, there was a lot of interest in the story about the growing need for people to reinvent their career. And a former WeWork executive is an example of landing on your feet. He's been hired for a similar job at a big real estate firm by telling them WeWork had no idea of how to be in the real estate business. But I got a tremendous amount of experience leasing office space. I helped them open up in four new markets. And I also learned that office spaces can be more pleasant. He told his new company I stayed there because I was learning a lot, including the mistakes not to make and he got hired.
Joe Connolly this morning. The feds are blaming Mayor de Blasio's sanctuary city for the rape and murder of an elderly woman in Queens. The feds say this crime wouldn't have happened if the suspect were deported, not protected. WCBS reporter Steve Burns joins us live in South Richmond Hill, where the 92-year-old victim was attacked. Steve, why did the feds want to deport this man in the first place?
Yeah, Paul, this guy, Riaz Khan, he's 21 years old from just over in Richmond Hill. He was accused of attacking his father with a broken coffee cup back in November. Back then, he was charged with assault and criminal possession of a weapon. It was at that point that Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials said they put out what's known as a detainer on Khan. It's a formal request for cops to turn him over to federal law enforcement for possible deportation. The feds say Khan is here illegally from Guyana, and they place the blame directly on the steps of City Hall, saying he was released thanks to New York's sanctuary city policies.
Did he admit to anything?
Khan has given conflicting accounts about what happened, according to prosecutors at least. At first, he said he found this 92-year-old woman, Maria Fuertes, writhing in the street, tried to help her. Later on, he apparently admitted that he sexually assaulted her. He spoke with the Daily News on Rikers and denied committing any crime. Investigators say they do have some pretty disturbing surveillance tape, though.
We're also hearing from the police and the mayor on this, Steve.
Yeah, everyone agrees that this case is beyond disturbing, but the mayor and the NYPD say they are not to blame here. A spokeswoman for Mayor de Blasio calls it shameful that the Trump administration is politicizing this tragedy, but she adds they'll cooperate with federal law enforcement if Khan is convicted. The NYPD denies they ever got that initial detainer request in November.
Thank you, Steve Burns. Bruce Springsteen has reason for parental pride this morning. The story after the full forecast next.
The WCBS Morning News Roundup.
The WCBS Exergen forecast here on the Morning News Roundup. And for Craig Allen this morning, here's Bill Digger.
Well, Wayne, we're tracking some big changes in the weather here. First, coming in late tonight with a cold front, and then again this weekend with the potential for a winter storm. We're starting out the day with some patches of fog out there, not as widespread as yesterday. Still some places below a mile in visibility this morning. We'll be mostly sunny for the rest of our Wednesday then, a high of 52. Clouds increase tonight ahead of that cold front, low 43. A shower late tonight as the front moves through. Behind it, windy and colder tomorrow. Some sunshine returning. We fall from an early high 49 into the 30s. Wind chills end up in the 20s. Cold on Friday, sunshine 32, and then likely some snow breaking out later Saturday, accumulating a little bit before changing to ice and rain at night. Right now, temperatures range from 40 at Brookhaven to 44 in Throgs Neck. It's partly cloudy and 43 in Midtown. Wayne and Paul, we're headed up to 52.
It's the Morning News Roundup.
It's the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
He says whatever I say. Well, you know, the Springsteens of New Jersey are an especially proud family today. Bruce, who has honored 9/11 heroes in word, deed, and song.
I'll swear to cross on my calling. Home wheels of fire, I can roll down here.
Well, he was there with Patty Schialfa at the swearing-in of their son, Sam, and the newest class of Jersey City firefighters. Sam Springsteen was among 15 who made the cut. And while mom and dad gushed with pride, Sam is a young man of few words when reporters asked him how hard it was to earn that rank.
Was it hard becoming a firefighter?
It wasn't easy.
Sam Springsteen, 25 years old. He trained for 5 months at the Morris County Public Safety Training Academy. Also volunteered at the Colts Neck Fire Department.
Maybe someday you can walk down Jeter Street in New York. Two Bronx Council members, Vanessa Gibson and Diana Ayala, are co-sponsoring a bill to rename East 161st, just outside the stadium, Jeter Street. It would intersect with River Avenue, which was renamed Rivera Avenue after Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer of all time, unanimously inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame to boot.
Speaking of baseball and the boot, someone just got the boot again. And you wonder who might be next. 6-12 and Brad Heller's here.
Yeah, guys, Mets fans are wondering if Carlos Beltran's tenure as Mets manager will end before it even starts, especially after Alex Cora became the second skipper to lose his job because of this sign-stealing scandal. The Red Sox last night parted ways with Cora before Major League Baseball has even finished its investigation. Here's Daily News columnist Bill Madden.
This was a preemptive strike on the Red Sox part. I mean, everybody knew that after all the suspensions that came down yesterday with Houston, the commissioner made it very clear that Alex Cora was right in the middle of the Houston scandal, and right in the middle of the Red Sox scandal a year later.
And the Mets have yet to comment on Beltran. NBA, the Bucks sweep the season series with the Knicks, winning the three games by a combined 91 points. The final, Milwaukee last night, 128-102, reigning MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo at 37 points in just 21 minutes. Kyrie Irving scored 32 for the Nets, but they lost to the Jazz in Brooklyn, 118-107. Utah has won 10 games in a row. The Islanders scored four goals in the first period, beat the Red Wings at the Coliseum 8-2. The Devils lost in Toronto 7-4. From college basketball, Duke suffering just its second loss of the season, 79-72 at Clemson. The UConn women won at Memphis. Brad Heller, WCBS 880 Sports.
Thank you, Brad. Well, we got this message here for you. Where were you on 9/11 and in the months that followed? One estimate says 400,000 people got exposed to World Trade Center toxins on 9/11 and in the months that followed.
You know all about the heroes, the firefighters, police, rescue, recovery workers, but consider the hundreds of thousands who lived and worked and went to school south of Canal Street.
You know, all of those people were exposed to the same World Trade Center toxins as the first responders. Tens of thousands are battling cancer and debilitating respiratory illness as a result, and that's why the law firm of Barish & McGarry is offering free consultations and will register you with the World Trade Center Health Program.
Barish & McGarry were the attorneys for Detective Zadroga, for whom the health program and the victim fund were named. They were in Washington. They were there lobbying to get the bill permanently extended and fully funded. The lawyers at Barish & McGarry have recovered over $2 billion for those sickened by World Trade Center toxic dust. If you were there, visit 911victims.com. That's 911victims.com.
And we're sponsored by Dell Small Business. Let Dell Small Business Technology Advisors help you upgrade to the latest Windows 10 business computers with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BY-DELL.
You're never more than 15 minutes from the big stories on WCBS.
Morning, I'm Wayne Cabot.
And I'm Paul Murnane. Here are your three things to know on a Wednesday.
One, bank fees. We in the Northeast pay higher fees than the rest of the country. And minorities pay more than whites. Those are the takeaways from Bankrate.com. On average, white checking account holders spend an average of $5 a month on bank charges. Those identifying as black paid $12, and Hispanics paid $16. Oh, and why do we pay more in the Northeast? Because it's just generally more expensive to live here, they say, and people expect to pay more. Basically, we cry uncle and beg for mercy and just take it.
Michael Avenatti arrested again. Number two, this on a bail violation in California. The lawyer who gained fame for representing Stormy Daniels is scheduled for trial next week in Manhattan federal court.
And a third thing now, official Ken Jennings, the greatest Jeopardy contestant of all time, won his third two-game match in Jeopardy.
On this Wednesday morning, we dip into the WCBS News Archives for the stories that made history on this date, January 15th.
January 15th, 2009, U.S. Air Flight 1549 leaves LaGuardia for Charlotte, but a bird strike takes out both engines. Captain Chesley Sullenberger asked for and received clearance to land across the Hudson, but wound up...
We're going to be in the Hudson.
...making a perfect belly landing.
There is an heroic pilot who saved himself and approximately 154 other passengers this afternoon. We've had a miracle on 34th Street. I believe now we've had a miracle in the Hudson.
New York Governor David Patterson coined that phrase. 2008, the FDA approves meat from cloned animals. No special label needed. 2001, Wikipedia is born with the first words, "Hello, world." Found that on Wikipedia. President Reagan went to a school on this Martin Luther King's birthday in 86 to make it a national holiday.
Your teachers won't approve of my using the word I'm going to use now, but I have to. It's the best word for it. It takes a lot of guts not to hit back when someone is hitting you. And he had that kind of guts.
Premiering in 1974.
I'm looking for Richie and Potsy. Have you seen him?
I don't know.
Look, Fonzie, I'm not looking for Richie in order to punish him. It just so happens to be late, and his mother and I are concerned about his safety.
It's nice.
Happy Days was nice. It lasted 11 seasons.
Now, back to our
1967, most of us watched Ed Sullivan make Mick Jagger change the words to "Let's spend some time together." Mick rolled his eyes when he sang that, and the Stones were never invited back. Yeah, they didn't have a future after that.
Well, he kind of rolled his eyes. Can't you see him rolling his eyes on camera, I think?
Being banned by Ed Sullivan did not exactly hurt the career of the Rolling Stones.
Not a big setback.
Still performing and selling out concerts and arenas today.
By the way, you can relive the miracle on the Hudson with the WCBS team that covered it on that cold January day. Our stories and some very compelling audio up right now. Search WCBS 880 In Depth.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup, a deeper dive on the stories you need to start your day with fewer commercials. Live on air, the radio.com app, and delivered to your phone and computer for on-demand listening.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.